Good evening, wherever you be in the world. Boy, we've got a lot of subjects that I want to touch on today. I'm going to touch on General Flynn, what's going on in his case, which is a totally miscarriage of justice beyond belief. It's actually called judicial lynching. I got to look up the cases. I've got two cases on judicial lynching. And also about the Kamala Harris against Pence, vice president thing. That was just an amazing thing. And the Mooney case in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, which I highly recommend reading. That thing went October the 5th before the Federal Circuit, before the judges up there, three judges. Of course, two of them happened to be Obama. One of them was a Bush appointee. And they ruled against the Moonies with total BS. I'm going to be going over that, but we're going to go back at them because they can't go there. I mean, they just sidestep. We ain't going to talk about it. Well, anyway, we're not done with them yet. There's also going to the Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch out of Minnesota. So, you got to stay in a battle, just like what General Flynn's up against. I mean, he's up against, it's just absolutely ludicrous. And I'm going to be going over a little bit of that, the latest filings. And then they got another filing that this Sullivan, that son of a gun ought to be more than impeached. He ought to be booted out of this country. He ought to be in jail. Well, he ought to be. But anyway, we start off with the vice president thing. I watched that, and I'm telling you what, the questions were loaded right off the bat. First two questions were all loaded. There was no doubt that the MC was a biased Biden fan. It's amazing. How in the hell can they never get somebody that asks the real questions for what's going on in these debates? They can't do a fair debate. Just like Hillary, they gave her the questions ahead of time. I wouldn't be surprised if Kamala Harris didn't have the questions too. I have no idea. I watched her, and I'm telling you what, that woman is a dislikable person. And she just lied her... Oh, God, just one lie after another. And she would not answer the questions. She wouldn't answer the questions. And if you watched her facial expressions, I'm telling you, there's something really rotten in Denmark about that woman. I don't know what to say. I'm telling you, it just scared the living hell out of you. I don't know what to say. You watch this stuff, and it's just so frustrating that there is nothing that these people are doing that's fair. It's all one grand lie. You just cannot make it up. I said, how in the hell can it be this way? But boy, it is. I'm telling you. I don't know. It's really frustrating to watch this stuff and see what they do. Because, God, I mean, it's just, I listen to the news, and it's just one lie after another lie, and another lie, and another lie, and nobody seems to call them on it. I don't know. Something's got to change here at somewhere down the road, or we're going to be in trouble. And I'll tell you what, if Biden gets elected, we are in trouble. It's, I don't know. It's just amazing. I thought Pence did actually a very good job, because the thing is, he was battling the gal in front again, as usual, just like when Trump was up there. It was him against Wallace. And what makes it really hard is they state a false premise. And then how do you debunk a false premise? Because instead of asking the specific questions, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? There was none of that against Kamala Harris. I mean, that woman is, like I say, she just, oh man, he just went all off and slap her upside the head. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, but that woman is, she's just a bona fide liar about everything. And they won't answer questions. Are you going to pack the court? That was done. They tried in FDR's time. FDR, he liked Mussolini. People don't know that. He admired Mussolini's national stuff. He was a fan of Mussolini. He's the one that really got it started, the headless fourth branch of government started. Big time. And that headless fourth branch of government is his research in 1937, because they were out of control. And he wanted to know what to do. And they tried an act in 1940 to get the agencies under control. They didn't. They passed another one. Finally, it was vetoed by the president. And finally, in 1946, they got the Administrative Procedures Act. And do you know what they've done since then? Nobody's obeying it. No. They're not. And I finally got it all figured out, thanks to the Senate report of 1946. They lied out what was supposed to be happening. Jim in Florida, question or comment?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on this Kamala Harris fiasco. That wasn't a debate. It was a question and answer, basically. They didn't debate anything. But I have some background and expertise in people's demeanor when they're testifying. And I would agree with you completely that I think, and I can't say for sure, but I think that she had all the questions ahead of time. if you read her body language and her expressions on her face, the questions were coming up, and boy, she just couldn't wait to get an answer out there. And there were a couple of times where she just out and out lied. Well, several times, but another issue was that I think she had the questions ahead of time, is I think they got into the discussion about packing the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And she jumped right up and, well, let's go back to Abraham Lincoln. And, no, excuse me. I don't think she is that well versed on the history of presidencies to come up with that little bit for Abraham Lincoln.
Well, I would agree with you. And what's even more amazing why she couldn't have come up with it is because it's a flat out damn lie. Because yeah. He didn't do anything because the Senate was out, and as soon as the Senate got back in, he nominated somebody, and the next day or the same day, it was approved. So it was a flat-out lie. So she had to have had that prepared ahead of time. She had to know.
Exactly. And, you know, if you look at her face and her body language, it was like, have you ever seen horses line up at the starting gate just before a race, and they're all ready, you know, kind of dancing around waiting for that gate to open?
Right.
That's exactly, and she was all ready for every question. And if you look at her eyes, there were a couple of times, excuse me, especially when Pence made a couple of references to, well, Trump's definitely going to get reelected. You could see in her eyes that she was kind of like maybe somebody opened a dark door for her.
Uh-huh.
So that's my comment. So my background is I was a homicide detective down here in Florida, and I've been to several schools, and I've been educated on looking for certain types of body language when people testify. And in my book, yeah, just about everything she said was a lie.
Well, we appreciate that. Somebody that's been trained in it. I'm not trained in it. I used to do it in sales, but how I made sales is I watched everything they did, their body, their facial expressions, anytime they move their hands or they're wiggling around or any of that type of stuff.
Exactly. That's some of the things you look for, but it gets a little more intricate than that, but basically you got it.
Great. So she's just a flat-out liar, and she was given the questions ahead of time. Another setup.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. So.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jim, because it's nice to have somebody that's had training that can watch that, because, the average person, we're not trained to all the different things to do that. And if you're a homicide detective, that's an extremely important part when you're questioning somebody to try to figure out if they're lying or not.
Yeah. And it's sad, you know. I don't know why they didn't have a debate, because they didn't. It was just ask a question, answer. Ask a question, answer. That is not a debate.
Nope.
You know.
And then the thing that got me is when you start off with a false premise. How are you going to? You have to debunk the false premise from the person that's asking the question before you get to a real debate, which would be, okay, what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about this?
Right. And there were really no questions of any substance that were asked. I look at them like marshmallow questions, you know, and it's the whole thing was a farce to me.
Well, Pence asked a good one. He asked a couple of good questions. What are you going to do about the Supreme Court? Are you going to pack it or not? What an answer.
I know.
So. Anyway, thanks for calling in, Jim. I appreciate that.
You bet. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how they can pick these, the whole commission, I mean, the whole, The problem is our government did good till right before the Civil War. And they started overthrowing the government a piece at a time. And that's what I have documented, a tremendous amount of it, in the brief in the Moniz case. That's in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. Set there October 5th, and immediately, I got to look and see here, but they, just right off the get-go, they come right out. And I've never seen them, been in a lot of appellate courts, and it's even the Supreme Court. I've never seen them just immediately come out with a response like what they did. And then they walked around the questions. They didn't answer nothing. And I'm going to get more into that in a minute here, but something else that just irritates the living heck. And I know that Cruz, I bought his book, One Vote Away. But he used to work at the Supreme Court of the United States, and he did cases up there. I know he knows what's going on. And you keep hearing these talking. Oh, they're going to make the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico or Guam into one of the states. What's wrong with that question? What is wrong with that question? And nobody brings it up. They can't. They won't. The District of Columbia tried this nonsense. Yes. They did a statehood act. It says the District of Columbia into the Union, H.R. 51. I got a copy of it. I don't know why. I mean, I have obviously great access to stuff because I have Westlaw and all that, and I can get it. But what did they want to do? All of the original states in the Northwest Ordinance, they have to come in on an equal footing with the original states in all respects whatsoever. That's the Northwest Ordinances. They did that up to the Civil War, and Congress is supposed to bring them in. Then they get around after the Civil War, when we reconstructed our republic and flipped everything, then all of a sudden it comes in by presidential proclamation. And then what else happens? Alaska is the only state, is not one of the several states. We come in on an equal footing with the other states. Now, why would they change one word? That's what they do all the time. That's why you got to be so careful in reading this stuff. These guys are just unbelievably. It's about words. Words have meanings. All you got to do is go look at the admissions, first of all. State of Washington, D.C., Subtitle A, Procedures for Admission. And upon issuance of a proclamation, okay, required by Section 103B, blah, 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 is declared to be a state of the United States of America. A state of the United States of America? You're supposed to be one of the several states, first of all. That's what's happening today. Because I can go into Westlaw and you will find sovereign state of the, they'll say that like North Carolina is a sovereign state of the United States of America. What the hell happened to the several states? Where did they go? And then they go on, declared to be admitted into the Union on an equal footing with the other states in all respects whatsoever. Other states. That's not what the Northwest Ordinance says. That's not what all those other states prior to the Civil War say. And even after they come in equal footing with the original states. Yes. And then you go a little farther down here in this thing. Nobody ever reads anymore. I understand. That's why I'm trying to get my homepage up or get people to get on my list, because I send this stuff out. I'm trying to wake people up with the real material, the real stuff. It's their stuff. Back in a minute. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Well, we're back here, and first of all, so you go look at the other states. What does that mean? It means you're screwed, and you know what? Because I live in Alaska, and I can tell you a whole bunch about how that works. But how you look at this stuff, the first thing you do in anything, go look at the definitions, because that's where they lie. In this particular document, which is, let's see, how many pages is this thing long here? It's 41 pages. They have a definition in it that lets the cat out of the bag. I could just read it. Let me find it here. I went past it. And why does these talking points talk about like they can just get around and make, they talk about the states. You ever listen to these people talking? They want to make it a state. No, one of the several states. Those two words have to go together. Jeez. And I know Dave, Cruz and those people. No. Because he used to work, he pled cases before the Supreme Court of the United States. How you tell this? So you go into this thing, and state defined. This is on, let's see, what's it, the section here? Section 204, permitting individuals residing in the new seat of government to vote in federal elections in the state of the most recent domicile. Now, what does it say? State defined. Now, why would you have to define the word state? This is the game they played on the 17th Amendment. See, the people of the several states elect representatives. That's Article 1, Section 2, I think it is, Clause 2. People of the several states. When they got the 17th, they left out the word several. It's just people of the state, because then you can define the word. I'd make it any damn thing you want. And here they go. They let the cat out of the bag. Right here. In this section, state defined. The term state, it's in quotation marks. They always put the word or the phrase in quotation marks. Means. Anytime you use the word means, that is the exclusive use. It got nothing to do with the dictionary, the Constitution, anything else. It is, this is what it means. If it means cat, mean dog. Cat means a tree. Whatever it is, that's what it is. So you have to go look at the definitions. State means each of the several states, including the state of Washington, D.C. So they finally defined, but only in this section, the voting. Only in this section. What the hell happened to the being admitted to the union up above? Oh, we don't, because that's different. Because they put other states, equal footing with the other states. One word. What do you get when you get the other states? I can tell you what Alaska got. We got an integrated bar, which means that the bar is integrated with the executive and the legislature. And how can we prove that? Oh, yeah. Because, see, they started off with the third district and the constitutional side, the venue. But the Alaska bar comes along later on, about 1974, and says, you know what? We're going to call administrative districts. Administrative word, a word, it means executive. Now, how in the hell does the Alaska Bar Association create executive districts? And they renamed it the Third Judicial District. They just added one word. From Third District to Third Judicial District. Really? And then they make all the attorneys, the name of the courts changed. I go in the archives. Look, it used to say Superior Court of Alaska, right below it, Third District. That's it. Now it says in the Superior Court for the state of Alaska. For means on behalf of, for the benefit of. They changed the name of the court. They changed the seal. They changed the heading. Everything. And people don't get it. How can a judge, and then we went into the voter register, where they are approved. And guess what the approval? It says Third District, because they need us attached to the land, and we are so dang stupid. We have a venue of the Third District attached to the land, and we vote for these SOBs to operate in the executive districts made up by the bar. I kid you not. It's in the words. But how do you get people to understand this? Because you got to pay real close attention. And what's even more amazing, it's still codified in Alaska, Third District, but they use the Alaska Bar for the Third Judicial District, for all the courts, and they don't want to go there. Cody in Illinois, question, comment?
Yeah, hey, Ralph. Appreciate what you're doing. I've been trying to understand this, how the CFR is related to the U.S. Code. One of the examples I had this week, I was doing...
Hold on a minute. How, what is related to the code?
The federal regulations are related to the code. And one thing that came up this week, I was looking at that short barrel rifle case, that Honey Badger deal. I was reading up on that. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's, when you read what's a crime, I say, I don't have, it's a U.S. code. I don't have the number right in front of me, but I have the clipping. It says that a weapon made from a rifle, if such a weapon is modified, has an overall length of less than 26 inches or a barrel or barrels of less than 16 inches in length. And then it says, it defined as any It says modified. The way I read that is it's kind of like sawing off a shotgun, that if you take a rifle, you saw off that barrel, that becomes a short barrel rifle,
okay,
let me
stop you right here. Are there any regulations in this thing as CFRs?
This is what I wanted to ask. I don't have all the CFRs in front of me, but the way I get it from what you're talking
is there even one CFR? Yes or no?
Well, I have to go back and look at the attorney's letter that they wrote about this, and I think there is, but I think it's in the taxing under, is it under 20, is 26 the taxing code? So that
yes,
was kind of
okay.
My question to you.
But
what does it say? Is that, does the CFR give them a right to make a regulation that is
okay.
is more stringent than the actual code?
Let me stop you right here. I'll give you a brief overview. You have access to the internet?
Sure.
Email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com.
Okay, I did that this week, and maybe it's going in your junk mail there.
And just ask for the stuff on CFRs or Mooney. Now, let me give you a brief overview. People don't have a clue how this works. And the reason why, because you know what? We're not taught it, because we're on a need to know and we don't need to know. It's a lie. But you got to have facts. And I have their stuff. Here's how it works. We no longer use laws of the United States. How do we know that? Because the codes that they use today, they started this back in 1913 after the 17th Amendment, when there was no two parties, there's only two parties to the Constitution of the United States, the several states and the people of the several states, the 10th Amendment. They changed the real party of interest from United States to United States of America. The last constitutional court was 1948, District Court of the United States. They changed it over to United States District Court. They just changed the words around. How do we know what it is? Because the court said, which I'm going to be getting later on in the Mooney's case, we finally found two cases that said United States District Court is a legislative court under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. And in that court, the judge represents the court, and the court is under the control of Congress. Does that sound like where you'd like to go?
No.
That's all right. Because we're supposed to have courts under Article 3, Section 1 and 2 in all cases, in law and equity. And our forefathers were so smart. They put, ordain, and establish two places in the Constitution, one in the beginning and the preamble, to make damn sure that everything after is established. It is written in concrete unless you have a organic amendment. And they also did it again in Article 3 because they understood if they overthrow our courts, where's our remedy? It's in Article 3. They did it again. They said these damn courts have to exist. They don't. But you got to be able to prove that. And I can't. And that's the first thing that you need to understand, is there's no courts. The only constitutional court is the Supreme Court of the United States. That's the only one that's left. Okay? There are none in the several states, and there's none in the federal side. And can we prove it? Absolutely. It's easy. Because, you see, you have to have an office. To have an oath of office, civil commission, and all that. But first of all, if you're going to have a constitutional court, don't you have to have elections in the several states? There are none for any public officers in the several states. They print that. It's under the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. They're only for federal offices and federal elections. And they say so. And
what's crazier?
I'm sorry, go ahead. You got a question?
Well, can you clarify, though? I've heard you talk about that, and I looked a little bit at some of those laws. I'm trying to understand exactly why you say that they're only for federal.
Because it says so in the definitions. Let me grab it. I'll find it here in just a minute. And, hold on just a minute. I'll pull it up. So I got to find it here real quick. It's in the National Voter Registration Act, and I'll give you the exact sites. First of all, anybody that's telling you any of this type of stuff, if they can't cite you the statute and they can't cite a case, it's BS. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I've been sort of tired of these people. They think they know every damn thing, and I don't claim to know everything. But I do back up what I do because I very methodically had my butt handed to me many times by what I thought I knew that turned out not to be so. Let me bring it up here. I got to find the National Voter Registration. Here it is right here.
Is it 52, Chapter 205? Is it?
It's no. Hold on just a minute. I'll read it to you here. It's in Title 52, Section 205.03. Okay? Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. 205.02. 52 U.S.C. 205.02. You got to go to the definitions.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you do? Four, the term state means state of the United States. State of the United States means that state, it means it's underneath the United States. It's a municipal entity. And the District of Columbia, they are on equal footing. A state of the United States and the District of Columbia are the only things that vote. You go to two, the term federal office has the meanings stated in 30101 number three. The elections are only for federal offices. They say so in their act. But you have to go to the definition of another. This is one of the things they do all the time that makes it difficult if you don't have Westlaw or something, because this is all hot linked. Because you have to go look up that one. They link two or three of these things together. So you have to. But federal office means what? Well, let's go look it up. This is under 52-301-01. And we go down to... let's see, the term federal office means the office of the president or vice president or senator or representative in or delegate or resident commissioner to the Congress. That's it. Do you see anything about the several states in there?
No.
I don't.
That's what
it gets
well,
worse.
I have a hard time understanding when people say they've changed and they call it, you're the state of instead of the state. What? They've changed the definition on that. It's hard to understand all this.
Okay, the state. Okay, anytime you have a state of the United States, it should be one of the several states. State of. That shows the relationship between the state and the word United States. Of shows source origin relationship. The is the singular United States. That means that state. It's like the county of North Carolina. The county sits subservient as part of North Carolina. State of the United States sets part of the United States. Now, these several states are sovereign countries. They're all sovereign. That's why they have their own laws. They have their own constitutions. That's why they call them several states. They're separate. Each one of them is separate from the other one. They join together in the union of the states. Okay? Deb, when you turn this around to a state of the United States, that means it's a municipal entity because a state of the United States and D.C. are in the same thing definition. You can't have one of the several states equal to D.C. D.C. is totally unique. It's not one of the several states. So you can't make the District of Columbia equal to, where are you at? What state are you from?
Illinois.
Illinois. No, it's not equal to Illinois, is it? Can't be. There's all kinds of rulings. Let's say the federal courts, the real courts of the United States in the several states are a very limited jurisdiction. That's why it's so important to use them, because they're the only ones that are bound to use the English common law. They're bound to use law and equity, and you can't get damn around it. Illinois is not bound by it. They may say something like that, but they're not bound. But the federal court, a district court of the United States, is bound to use law and equity from the English common law, and none of them do it because the courts aren't there. The real Article 3 court is called the District Court of the United States. It was made in 1789, and they put it in the closet in 1948. It's still there because they couldn't repeal it. They just don't use it. It's a con. We use United States District Courts.
Yeah. On a separate note, you've talked a lot about these child cases, and then I was curious about Schaefer Cox, since he was from Alaska. What can you tell me about what happened to him, how he was railroaded?
He got railroaded. I knew the people that was involved in all that. I'm very familiar with it. And he got railroaded by, they paid a guy that was actually hauling drugs. And he worked for, I think it was Freddie Myers, through Canada. They paid him money to lie. And they waived his hauling all these drugs. It was a setup from the beginning to the end. And unfortunately, he got an attorney. And when you get an attorney, you're screwed. You know why you're screwed?
No.
I'll tell you in just a minute here. Let me pull that up. Let's see. That is under the Alaska Professional Code of Conduct. I think I've got it here. Because what they don't tell you about attorneys, because I'm fighting one with somebody up here that's got a felony charge, and they always want to put an attorney on you. Why is that? Why do they want to do that? Well, I may probably find.
They're obliged to the court
here, huh?
They're obliged to the court.
No, what they do is they create a separate venue for the attorneys. Let me put this in here just a minute. Alaska, professional attorney. Professional code. What they don't tell you about these damn attorneys, you can't make this stuff up, literally. It's under 1.2. It says here, this is under their Alaska code for attorneys. It says, in a criminal case, the lawyer shall abide by the client's decision after consultation with the lawyer as to what? 1, plea to be entered. 2, whether to waive a jury trial. 3, whether to testify or whether to take an appeal. There's only 4 things. And so what we did up here, we put an offer into the public pretender, said, hey, we want you to sign with a dollar. We'd like to sign this contract. There's nothing about the Constitution. There's nothing about waiving your rights. All they have to do, there are 4 things. Otherwise, they can do anything they want. And how they do it up here, and how they do it, they get these attorneys in there, and ours has a Rule 5 and a Rule 64, and they say, if you want to play in this world, you have to take an oath to the Alaska Bar. And the Alaska Bar doesn't do anything constitutional. You have to play in the 3rd Judicial District. You can't operate in what's called the constitutional side, the venue of the 3rd District. This is like the difference in The Matrix. Did you see the movie The Matrix?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but yeah, I get the idea.
Yeah, okay, there's one is the real world, and the other one is fictional. So
I've heard you talk about it.
This is a hard concept for people to grab. There's only 4 things he's bound to do. He can't sign a contract because they don't say anything about defending your constitutional rights. That's all he's bound. And then if you go to the judicial code, it says the judge is doing law and fact. Well, what the hell? If he's doing law and fact, why are we here? I thought you were supposed to be an independent arbiter. They print this stuff, but you have to know where to go look to find it. To put these pieces together. It's all a big lie. And then what's even crazier yet, let me go back in this national voter registration thing. Let me find it again here. Come on here. Where is it here? I got about 500. Where is that here? I just had it just a minute ago. National voter registration. I'll find it here in a minute. What they actually say, did you know the 10th Amendment no longer has any standing? Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard you talk about that. You said something about 185 American Law Review, the federal federal 55, I think you mentioned. I couldn't find that case, though. Apparently, I got to pay for it.
All you got to do is email me. I'll give you this stuff. IRS at AlaskaMinuteMan.com. If you hear it on a show, I'll send it to you. No charge. That's all you got to do. I'll give you all this stuff. Because I have access to it. And the bottom line is, if you get on my IRS list for $250 postal money order Walmart, you'll be getting all this stuff all the time. And then I look up stuff for people. I offer free, not an attorney, not a counselor, but I'll give you stuff that you're not going to know about. Help you.
Well, I know the people.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the people that promote being a U.S. national, I noticed you've been talking more about the 14th Amendment, especially the other day on John's show. And that's basically what they say, because they've made you a federal citizen.
Nope.
In a sense, you become a citizen of D.C. and that all the laws of, you know,
they
D.C.
didn't make you
apply
nothing.
To.
You know what they do? They invite you in. You have to sign up for it. Let me get back to this entitled thing, and then I'll tell you, just like the IRS, W-4 is now constitutional. Your invitation to step in is now constitutional when you go to work for a, quote, employer. But let me tell you what this entitled is. They print this stuff, see, if you know, but you got to know where to go look. Like I say, I'm open. I try to help people. If you call up, it says right here. The defendant's contention that the National Voter Registration Law governs the qualifications of voters, a right specifically given to the state. The court emphasized the National Voter Registration Act does not establish who is entitled to vote, but rather establishes the method. So what's that mean? It doesn't say who's entitled. The only people that have political rights or a citizen is a citizen of Illinois. A citizen of the United States has no political rights.
What does that mean, political rights?
Pardon?
Versus, define that a little. Define
the
what political rights mean versus
right,
no political rights.
Political rights is the right to vote on the type of government and to vote for the people that hold an office in that government. If you do not have political rights, you have no right to say who is going to be a public officer or who's going to be anything. You have no right in the say of the type of government that you have. Because what happens, this is a really elementary, if you want to see it explained out, send me an email. I'll send you the case on I'll pull it up here, actually, and I'll read this. This stuff is so basic. And when you get the basics down, then all the rest of it just starts, oh, my God, I see what you're doing. But the Declaration of Independence, inalienable rights, is what? That are called the natural rights or natural law. That comes from the Creator. That's something we all have. It's defined, the natural law, natural rights. You have the right to defend yourself and all that stuff. So when we get to a citizen of Illinois, what does he have? He has political rights. That means you have a right to vote for who's going to hold an office under the Constitution. You have a right to who's going to hold an office. He has to have an office as something created by the Constitution. This is where we get together and we say we're going to have a representative type of government, a republic. And you have to have an office. We are giving you the authority to sit in that damn office. And we have a right to vote on you. And only us. Only citizens. You have to have two things. You got to be domiciled in Illinois. Got to be attached to the land. Okay? Whatever that is. Time, 30 days, or whatever the time limit is. And you got to claim, I am a citizen of Illinois. Doesn't change. Nothing's changed at all.
As soon as you admit to being a federal citizen, you lose that right? Is that what you're saying? Or?
No. The other one is they have to keep getting you to sign up for the benefit. So like when you file a 1040, you are doing, I say I want to be obligated to the IRS, but the IRS has got to do nothing to me. That's called an implied in the law contract. But they have to get you to keep volunteering in. Take a jury, in a federal jury. You go in and sit in a jury. I guarantee you, and I'll bet Illinois is the same way Alaska is, somewhere it is, in every court of the United States, before jeopardy attaches, when you sit in there, if you have a, it's not a trial by jury to begin with, they just call it that, but they will, the judge absolutely on the record has to say, is there anybody here not a citizen of the United States? Hold on, let me wrap it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, well, we're back here. And let's just take the W4. What changed? It used to be a box 7 you marked and you had to modify it to make it constitutional. The new W-4, which is where you are volunteering, it's called an implied in law contract. I am volunteering that I want money withheld, and the other side's got to do nothing. It's called an implied in law contract. That's what your Form 1040 is.
Can you not agree to it and not pay taxes, or how does?
Yes, yeah. But here's what you got to do. First of all, this was the new 2020. So Trump has changed. Somebody's changing this stuff. Because if you go down in the exemptions, under the exemptions purpose of the form, they tell you what to do. Now, what you got to do, you have to fill out your name and address and that. And then what you got to do, they go down here below 4C, optional and other adjustments. And what they tell you, and there's a reason why, they say below, if you don't have any taxable liability below 4C, you have to actually write on the form, exempt. Now, why would they do that? Here's the reason why. Because in law, it makes it, you are sending them back an implied in law contract saying, I don't have any obligation to you, and you are accepting it. Okay? You follow?
Yeah.
Because if you physically write on that, that means it's your modification to their offer. They are offering you or something. You say, no, I don't want to do that. Here is my counteroffer. To make it a counteroffer, you write in the word exempt. And all you have to put in is your name and address and thing, a couple of things and sign it and send it back. You don't have to fill out the rest of the garbage.
Why is that legal? Why is that legal to not pay taxes?
Okay, well, the first thing, that's the first step in it, is that you are not volunteering to sign up under a W-4 for them to take out money. This is your counteroffer contract. Okay, be like if you're...
Well, does the law say, though, that I have to... I mean, if you read some of the... I was reading some of these codes, and it says, you know, the different rates that... You know, you have to pay taxes. So
this is all based on your status. Who are you? And it says foreign. Are you a citizen of Iowa or a citizen of the United States? A citizen of the United States is under the plenary power of Congress. And how do we know that? Because the citizens of in District of Columbia are all citizens of the United States. They're under the plenary power of Congress, the absolute control of Congress. You don't even have a right to a constitutional court in the District of Columbia. Did you know that? No, you don't. The Supreme Court's ruled over and over and said, no, in the District of Columbia, you don't have a right to an Article III court. Article III pertains to with the people in the several states. Okay.
Well, I was pulling up some of those USC cases regarding taxing, and I'm trying to remember. It seems like they used the word state or person, but I don't remember.
Okay,
maybe they did.
Okay, the one that they use for a person is in 7701. They use the person shall be construed to mean and include what? An individual, a trust, a state, partnership, association, company, and corporation. Why would a person define a corporation and an individual in the same one? Here's the reason why. Because a corporation has no political rights. It has civil rights. It can go to court and sue and be sued. Hold on a minute. We're going to go to break. Back in a minute. I'll tell you why.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.